don't know me, I am married to my wife, Taylor Portell. I have two children, Jace, who is 4, and Carly, who is 2. I was raised around the Potosi area my whole entire life until I married my wife in 2013 and moved here to Farmington, to her hometown, to join this church. I'm going to go ahead and apologize to you all up front because this up here is way outside my comfort zone. It actually doesn't extend more than about halfway right in the middle there. So I'm going to stick to what's on this paper, and otherwise I'll be chasing rabbits all over up here. About 9 months ago, I was asked to give a talk on a Tres Dias weekend. And not knowing what road God was leading me on, I believe went our road. Having no idea what road God was leading me on when I said yes, I believe that's exactly how I ended up here today. See, I prepared this about 8 or 9 months ago, and it never would have been my wildest dream thought I'd be sharing it with you here today. If you like what you hear, you should come on a Tres Dias weekend. If you don't like what you hear, talks are usually better anyways, and somebody's got to bring up the rear. So, enough with that. Rocky has been talking the last few weeks about the church. I'm going to talk this morning on a little bit wider field of view, the Christian community in action. You ask yourself, who is the Christian community? Take a big look in the mirror to the people sitting around you. We are the Christian community. It is made up of all believers who are living their life for Christ and who are working together to bring others to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. The Christian community nurtures its members. As a Christian, our life lived in God's grace is not meant to be kept at home in a box just for us. We are called to live a life for Christ, not just in our home, but in the community as well. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 reads, "Now these are the gifts Christ has given to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the whole body of Christ. This will continue until we all have come in such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This not only helps us grow closer in our daily walk with our Lord and Savior, but it encourages and strengthens other Christians as well. As we build each other up, leading away from a life lived in sin to obedience of God's word, the Christian community trains and equips its members. I'm a flooring installer by trade. I assure you, I did not learn everything there is to know about installing floors sitting at home on the couch watching YouTube. I spent 4 years going through an apprenticeship, schooling, and on-the-job hours. Very similar to my profession, we do not become mature Christians overnight. By actively reading and studying the Bible, we receive guidance and training before going out into the world to do his work. I graduated the apprenticeship program many years ago. But even after reaching journey level status, I still have to do continuing education courses each year. This is equivalent to us attending Sunday morning worship services, attending Bible studies, and getting involved in serving God with our fellow Christians in the community. I was saved at the young age of 10. I was fortunate enough to have grown up in a very godly home with the best parents that anybody could ever ask for. I can't even remember from the time I can remember, we were at church every time the doors were open, every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. There was never a question of, are we going to church? It was, what time? For those of you that know me well, know I am a sucker for old, whiny country western music. Some of you might be questioning, what's this kid calling old? Well, there is a song that I love by the Bellamy Brothers called Drug Problem. My childhood raising relates so closely with the song, it's perhaps why I love it so much. And I would love to sing it for you, but for the sake of your ears and my pride, we're going to play just a small clip from the song.
You see, I was drug church on Sunday morning. I was drug family. Every song, and I was drunk when they sang. struck at the door too soon. And I was struck by my ears when I was sad. When I disdained my parents saw my tears, I was drugged to the shit by my dad. And those drugs are still running through my veins, still affecting everything I do and say. And kids say, at those times of drug problems, I believe the world would be a better place. I won't blame my blood to be perfect, but every time I start to make a slip, I can see Daddy reaching for a good book, and hear those prayers roll from Mama's lips. That's why I count my blessings every year. Pray to the Lord up above. Thank Him for giving me drug problems and a home and a family filled with love.
You see, I was fortunate enough to have parents who drug me along. They taught me what it was to be a Christian. There was a verse, a scripture verse, that hung in my room until the day I moved out, or it might still possibly be hanging up there. It says, it's Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I couldn't begin to tell you how many times my dad took me along to an elderly member of the church's house to fix a leaky pipe or a squeaky garage door. If there was a work day at church, mowing grass, building props for a play, fixing a toilet, I was there. I couldn't tell you how many times I saw my mom or grandma in the kitchen fixing an extra meal for a family that maybe lost a loved one or had a significant surgery. See, even though I was in the way probably more than I was of any help, I learned by example a servant's heart. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, we are commanded by Jesus to go and to make new disciples. We are the ones commanded by God to teach, train, and equip our brothers and sisters in Christ, just as my parents did with me. How were we to do that if we are not in the community ourselves? How much do you think I would have learned had I been left at home because it was more convenient? The Christian community provides nourishment for itself. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we find nourishment. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. How many of us here have enjoyed the worship time this morning? I hear a room like this light up with voices singing praises to our Lord and Savior is such a powerful and uplifting nourishment to my soul. Just yesterday, I had a good friend of mine send me a couple songs through a text. And boy, was that very powerful and nourishing to me. We as individuals cannot get the energy, love, and guidance we need on our own through prayer times like on Wednesday nights, and giving testimonies, fellowshipping with others, all work together for spiritual nourishment to drive us as Christians to love and witness to the world. There are many communities in the body of Christ. I always picture the body of Christ like an actual human body with Jesus as the head or the brains of the operation. The church is only one portion of the body. Many communities work together to operate the body. In Matthew 18, verses 20, this is wrong in your bulletin, and my apologies, that's my fault. It reads, "For where two or three gather together in my name, I am in the midst of them." That may be meeting up for coffee with someone in need of a friend, listening to what's going on in their life and sharing with them the struggles and praises of your life. Spark a relationship. People are more likely to come to church if they have a friend there, or to keep coming back if they have a friend there or someone they know. I had the opportunity at the end of my junior high or early high school that I got to help on a construction team with a family in the community at there in Potosi. Their house had burned down, and they had no insurance. It was a total loss. But there were many people who showed up every week and devote their time to build these people a new home. There are many communities and organizations, or there are many organizations and groups like pregnancy resource centers, food pantries, and counseling groups that all work together in the body of Christ. So church-based communities. A couple groups that come to mind that I'm involved with are small group Bible study that my wife and I attend on Wednesday nights. Men's group, where we do activities like going to the gun range, fishing, and just getting together to fellowship. Usually involves coffee or some sort of fried food. We occasionally do odd jobs for families in the communities who are in need of handyman work or a strong back for moving things. I serve on the church mowing team to keep up with the church grounds. There are many groups that stem from the church, like youth groups, missionary groups, and the worship team. Other Christian communities, these Christian communities do not directly come from the church. They are groups like the Gideon Bible Distribution, Prison Ministries, and Tres Dias. I know that being around the group of Tres Dias guys and serving with them make me strive to live a closer walk with my Lord and Savior, and in turn makes me a better husband to my wife and father to my kids. What are we as Christians called to do? Identifying God's mission for the ministry. Serving God is a choice to answer the Holy Spirit's call or not. The first thing for any ministry is seeking God's mission through prayer. Several years ago, I could hear the Holy Spirit telling me I needed something more in my life. Through lots of prayer, talking with my wife and others in the church, we knew that we needed to be a part of a small group Bible study. I would say, oddly enough, there were other young couples in the church who felt the same, but it's not nothing odd about it at all. That's how God works. Through prayer and seeking God's will is the only way to make sure we are doing what's pleasing and perfect to Him. That brings us to our next topic, being committed to that mission. The small group that we attend is comprised of mainly two other couples. Occasionally another couple or two will join for a particular study, but we are all couples with young children for the most part. My children are currently, as I mentioned, 2 and 4. They have tons of energy and love to talk. They have zero concept of the word whisper. So if any of you can imagine trying to do a study with 6 to 8 of these distractions in the same room, it's next to near impossible. Over the last several years, we have had to be flexible. We started meeting on Sunday afternoon since most families were free at that time. It started out that everyone would try to find their own child care. But then families started missing because they didn't want to be the only one who brought their child because they couldn't find a sitter. So we then started hiring a youth from the church to watch them. Well, that worked well for a while, but we were still dependent on their schedules and availability. As a result, we now meet on Wednesday nights, or we did until Corona graced us with its presence. Our kids were being watched during the children's program on Wednesday nights. They weren't just being watched, they were being taught God's word, and we were able to devote our undivided attention on our study. I might also add that only one other couple was a part of the original small group of six couples that we started with. Just because things seemed to fall apart after the first couple studies didn't mean it was time to throw in the towel. Over the years, it has not been easy, but I have learned that through prayer, seeking God's will, and consistency has been key, with or without childcare. It's easy to slip into a rut where missing 1 week turns into 2 and then 3. It's a vicious cycle, and Satan has certainly put his fair share of obstacles in the way. I knew that the Holy Spirit was telling me that we needed to be a part of this small group, and being committed has truly been a blessing. Work together in a spirit of love. When our group was first formed, we were not given the study material and then set free to go figure it out. We received a mentor from the church who went through the entire first study with us. He demonstrated and taught us how to facilitate the group and be fair and equal to all members. We were taught the importance of love and respect for each other so we could reach honesty, and transparency throughout the group. He took time away from his life and family to do God's work. This was a vital role in growing our new group. Decide when and where to act. You may have a talent like swinging a hammer that you can use helping to build a wheelchair ramp for someone in need in the community. Maybe for some of you, your fingers prefer you stay away from hammer and nails. For some of you, operating computers come very easily. As you guys saw, it does not come easy for me. There are some very, very talented people here who build the slideshows and the media for every Sunday worship service. I am grateful they do, because it would be an utter train wreck if I had to. We all have things we are good at, things we are not, but seeking God's will and answering His call is critical to the Christian community. For instance, 2 weeks ago, I walked into a church service just like any other Sunday, or so I thought. Rocky came and greeted me, and after a few minutes of small talk, he mentions he was going to be gone in a couple weeks. He mentions that the person he had lined up to speak might not be able to make it. Oh, hey, maybe you should do it. Now, I'm sure that it was priceless, the deer in the headlight look that he got. He says, you know that talk you plan to give at Tres Diaz? It was spot on with the sermon series. And after trying to backpedal my way out of that conversation, he just says, you think about it and moved on. I could easily come up with multiple reasons why I shouldn't do it. First and foremost, I absolutely hate public speaking. Number two, I feel that I am no way, shape, or form qualified to be up here. And number three, I absolutely hate public speaking. I said a little prayer before the service started, asking for God's guidance. Boy, was I in for a ride. I'm here to tell you there was a long point in my life that I would promise you I wouldn't be caught dead public speaking. I hated it, specifically remember in high school speech class saying I would never use this again. It's awful funny how God works sometimes. It may not be the easiest or most comfortable thing you've ever done, but if you're joining in God's work for the glory of His kingdom, what could go wrong? How is the mission of God accomplished? Through the body of Christ in action. The Christian community as a whole work together for one common goal, to bring non-believers to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. How would people in remote countries come to know Jesus if there were no missionaries? How would missionaries get there if we did not support them? Would people come here to this Sunday worship service if the grass was waist high, the building was all run down, and the toilets weren't clean? Would you know that there are people out there who do not like to mow grass or use a weed eater? For the longest time, I did not realize this. I just thought, I'm a guy. It's something I do. Perhaps it was how I was raised, or perhaps it was how God wired me. From the time I was big enough to pack a weed eater around, I cut all the grass and weeds around my parents' house, grandpa's house, and my dad's business. I'm not sure why God programmed me to like it so much. But would you know that after meeting my wife and moving here to Farmington, I joined this church, and as you all came in, you passed about a 100-yard-long ditch that runs in front of the church. It was there that I realized not everyone likes to use a weed eater, or, more importantly, is physically able. I referred to my illusion of the body of Christ with Jesus as the head earlier. This comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. It paints a very detailed picture for us. We are a very diverse people, made up of all different strengths and weaknesses, all called to work together in unison for the glory of God's kingdom. Everyone has a vital role in the body of Christ, and it is up to you to figure out what God's calling you to do for His kingdom and take action. Taking stands on issues. I feel in this day and age, more than ever, Christians' values are coming under attack. Our government is pushing the Pledge of Allegiance out of schools because it mentions the word God. Legalized gay marriages. Heck, even humans are getting sex changes. This great nation was founded on Christian morals and beliefs, and more of those values are being tossed to the side. My wife teaches some college courses in the psychology field, and she has several friends who are teachers as well. They all have common things that they vent to each other about, and it blew my mind when she told me How many of students openly talked about boyfriends and girlfriends spending the nights at each other's houses? Not stopping there, but how many of them openly talked about having sex and are encouraged to do so by one or both parents? Through knowing God's word and seeking his will, there will be a time to stand for what's right. My wife can tell you she sees it daily. It is our responsibility to raise, to train the next generation, along with our new brothers and sisters in Christ, with the right Christian morals and beliefs. Dealing with disagreements openly, honestly, and in Christian love. As with any group of people, there will be disagreements. As Christians, I feel we have a leg up on others in this situation. New Heights has a church motto: love God and love others. This comes from the Gospel of Mark, verse 12, 30, and 31. We are called to love each other in spite of any disagreements or differences we have. I was taught at a young age an acronym I'm sure most of you have heard of. It's WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Deal with any and all situations that arise in Christ-like ways with honesty and respect for others. Go straight to the source of the problem. Don't be catty. I feel that women can get a bad rap for this, but I know for certain men can be just as bad. I've been there when 15 other people know before it ever gets around to the problem where the problem or disagreement started. And guess what? That person had no idea. But now, let's see. Had I went straight to the source of the problem, boom, problem solved. But now feelings got hurt because more people were involved than necessary. If differences cannot be resolved on their own through prayer, reading the Bible, and seeking God's will in the situation, then it is recommended to seek a Christian counselor or a pastor who is not involved with the disagreement to help settle any disputes. Finally, the one you've been waiting for, conclusion. On day 6 of creation, God created one man and one woman. From the beginning of time, we were not designed to make it alone in life. That's why Adam was given a companion. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, this is wrong in the bulletin as well. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There is strength in numbers and is the only way the body of Christ can function. In times of weakness or suffering, maybe the loss of a loved one, a job, or a financial hardship, we have each other to help carry us through those times of need. Likewise, in times of joy and happiness, they are there to celebrate and sing God's praises with us. We are all called to do our part for the kingdom of God. As a great friend of mine often says, seek God at work and join him there. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for your almighty, powerful love that you have given to us. Father, I just thank you for the people that you have brought here this morning, that you would just use the words to speak to their hearts in the way that you would have. Father, I just pray a special blessing on them, that they would seek your guidance in their life. And Father, I just pray for Rocky and Clint and their family, Father, as they travel, that you would just bring them home safely. And Father, I just pray for all of those who are sick or ailing this morning, that you would help to give them a speedy recovery, and that you would bring them back safely. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this time that we have set aside here to hear your word and sing your praises. In your Son's name, amen.